स्वरूपं रूपं दाशव्राजमुरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोस्तुवाथिं राधाकुन्दं गिरिवरं महोरारिकमारवासं गतो यशकथिता कृपाया श्रीगुरुं नमतोऽस्मि अजानुलम्बुतो भुजो कनकावदातो सङ्कीर्तनैकपितुरो कमलायताक्षो विश्वम्भरो द्विजगुरो युगदामपालो वन्दे जगत्प्रियकरो करुणावतारो अनातितचिरं चिरात् करुणा अवतीनाखलो समाधायितं मनुष्वरसं स्वभाति श्रियं हरिपरकसुन्दरद्युति कदम्बसन्दीपितः सदा हृदयखं गुरे स्फुरतु वा सचिनन्दनः उत्तम अधम किचुन बाचिर जाचिर विवेक काहे प्रेमानंद ए मन गौरंग हृदय धारिय बोला जज गौरंग था गौरंग कहा गौरंग नाम रे बोलो भज गौरंग कहा गौरंग नाम रे गौरंग बाजे से हमार प्राण रे गौरंग बाजे से हमार प्राण रे हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे तस्मै जगन्मङ्गलमङ्गलाय चैतन्यचन्द्राय नमो नमस्ते चैतन्यचन्द्राय नमो नमस्ते चैतन्यचन्द्राय नमो नमस्ते मद्गाव्यरपि गोपाला स्वीकृया कृपया जरि सदैवा संवयापि वा विश्वयुस्तत्प्रिया जनः श्री कृष्ण कृष्ण चैतन्य सासनातन रूपका गोपाला रघुनाथा ब्रज बालव पाहि माम पांच गोपद रूपिशा कृपसिंधु गहेव छा पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सहि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
सो वेरी हैप्पी टू बी हियर वी वेरी फॉर्चुनेट टू बी स्टेइंग इन वन ऑफ द मोस्ट वंडरफुल प्रोजेक्ट्स इन दिस काइंड वेरी वेरी फॉर्चुनेट टू बी हियर सो फॉर द नेक्स्ट फ्यू डेज वी'd लाइक टू ट्राई टू हैव समथिंग ऑफ अ वैष्णव संगम. And before we begin to speak about our subject, I'd like to speak something about what is a Vaishnava Sangha. We should understand this deeper. In a Vaishnava Sangha, it's not that the speaker is better than the listener. we see in the opening pages of the Bhagavatam the picture of Shukadeva Goswami as a 16-year-old boy, and seated listening to him is his father and the guru of his father, Narad Muni. So it's not that the speaker is necessarily better than the listener. In a Vaishnava Sangha, everyone is offered respect. In Jagannath Puri, when people take Jagannath Mahaprasad, it's considered to be such a sacred act that everyone is considered equal because you're coming before God. So in a Vaishnava Sangha, the thing that's kept in the center is Krishna. In this case, Krishna Katha. This is described in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. Satam prasangam mama virya sambhido bhavanti rikkarna visayana katha. Tas josanat asa pavargavatmani shadha shadha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. It describes an anukrama, or a sequence of events that begins from Krishna Katha and takes us in the beginning from shraddha, faith, to rati, some taste, finally to bhakti. And Vishwanath says this indicates Vaidhi bhakti, Bhav bhakti, and Prem bhakti. And so begins the Satam Prasanga. Satam means silent. We want to hear pure Krishna Katha. We want to hear from the mouth of a pure silent. Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha, he says there are two types of speakers, the Sarad Bhakta and the Nirad Bhakta. Or the speaker with material desires and the speaker without material desires. We want to hear from a speaker without material desires. He says to hear from a speaker with material desires, we don't get very much. So then you may ask the obvious question, what are you doing sitting there? That's a good question. In the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, it says, Bahu Murtika Murtika. That Krishna is one, but he becomes many, as in the Ras Lila. In his Saarva Darshani commentary, Vishnu says, Chinmayi Namanati Kaikam Avipreta. That just as Krishna is one, he's Advaya Tattva, so also is Nam. The holy name is one. But just as Krishna becomes many in the Ras Lila, Dwarka, so also that one holy name, which we may hear from our Gurudev in Brihad Bhagavatam to Gopal Gopakumar, only heard one time from his Gurudev. And his Gurudev didn't even explain the mantra to him. But that one time became many, because Gopakumar continued repeating that mantra. So if we hear from Sadhu Guru and we repeat what we've heard, my Guru that kirtan of the disciple is another name for shravan, for hearing. So this is our situation. Vishwanath also says that satam prasangam also means, it means to hear from a sadhu. But another word of sat is pure, to hear pure Krishna katha. In other words, to repeat it. Vishwanath in Sarada Darshan raises an interesting question on this verse, satam prasangam. What is the necessity of the prefix pra before the word sangha? Why not just satam sangam? He says because there's a difference between satam sangam and satam prasangam. What is satam sangam? That means religious topics. It means you should be honest. It means vilim. Are you vegetarian? Don't eat eggs or fish anymore? That's important. That's satam sangam. And the Bhagavatam says it means you should chant japa, you should come to the temple, you should take care of your wife, you should be an honest person. These are satam sangam. But Vishwanath says these are not visayana katha. These are satam sangam is not those things which will heal our heart of the disease of materialism. We want to hear satam prasangam. What does prasangam mean? Prasanga means topics directly about Krishna, directly about the Lord. And this is the foundation of this Hare Krishna movement. Srila Prabhupada gave Krishna book in the very early days and told the devotees to distribute that Krishna book to everyone on the planet. I first came in contact with the Hare Krishna devotees in 1972. I was a young boy growing up in Colorado, and we went into an old abandoned house. And on the walls of the house, there were pictures from Krishna book all over. real as those pictures were. I remember standing and looking at them for hours and trying to figure out what that was. So we should hear something about Krishna. Everyone should know something about Krishna. So in the next few days, we'd like to try to speak a few confidential things, because Jai Shri Shivaya Gopinath. Because Guhyamakya Pripshiti said we didn't pretty Lakshana. This is one of the angas of loving relationships with devotees, to speak infinite things. If we speak to you about vegetarianism or why you should be honest, it's not such a confidential thing. And we won't go so far together in the Sangha. So we'd like to speak about a very deep topic, a very indescribable topic, which is bhajan and separation. In the material world even, people have a great fascination with separation. And there are so many movies, so many songs, so many books, so many stories, which deal with this subject matter. And it's glorified, it's romanticized, the separation between the lovers. When the mother sees her child die, the separation that she feels from her child. And also, in spiritual circles, this subject matter is also glorified. Srila Prabhupada, he speaks about this in many places, in his purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhulila, chapter 4, text 197, he says, worship and separation is considered by the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya to be the topmost level of devotional service. According to this conception, the devotee thinks of himself as very poor and neglected by the Lord. Similarly, in Krishna book, Prabhupada writes, to acquire this strong feeling of separation is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya and his direct reciprocal succession of Goswamis. When we are not in physical contact with Krishna, we can associate with him like the gopis through feelings of separation. Again, in another purport in Adi Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita Prabhupada says, separation excels the feeling of meeting Krishna. So, many questions come before us. What is this separation? How does it differ from material separation? And most importantly, how does it relate to us? It seems like a very high thing. Prabhupada says here that when we are not in physical contact with Krishna, we can associate with him, like the gopis, through feelings of separation. This is a very theoretical statement. How many of us can really feel separation from Krishna? How can we feel separation from Krishna? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has written one article in Sajjana Toshini, which he called philanthropism. Very big word in English. Philanthropism means to elevate something mundane to the level of spirituality. And he says there that unless we hear from someone who's directly been to the abode of the Lord, how can we understand that abode? Unless someone has been to England and they're living in India, what can they say about England? They can read something from a book, but they're a theoretical speaker. So this is a very important subject, this bhajan and separation. This is the topmost thing. We should hanker for this thing. But how can we have this? How can we feel separation from Krishna? I would hazard to say that for most, or maybe all of us, Krishna is something theoretical. We read about him in a book. Brenda, have you seen Krishna? Has he talked to you ever? No, so how can you feel separation from him? How can we do that? If you tell someone you should feel separation, if you tell a young lady, there's a boy, you should love him, and he lives in Africa, and you've never met him, and you should feel separation. It has no meaning. So we should understand this subject in a deep way. My revered spiritual master, he liked to recite some verses, sometimes from the Prema Vivarta, Srila Jagannatha Pandit. All singers' verses, Prabhuji complained about. chant Hare Krishna in response.
Kabu Raja Kabu Kaju Kabu Vipra Sutra Kabu Duri Kabu Suti Kabu Vipra Sutra Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Sometimes you're a king. Sometimes you're a temple president or a GDC. Very good day. Kabu Raja, but sometimes you're just a common citizen. Kabu Vipra, Kabu Sudra. Sometimes the living entity takes birth as a Brahmin. A very high-class Brahmin family. And sometimes it takes birth as a Sudra and has to serve people. Kabu Duki. Sometimes the jiva is very unhappy. Kabu suki, and sometimes happy. Kabu kita shudra. Sometimes we become a tiny worm in stool. Kabu swargi, sometimes we go to the heavenly planets. Kabu marke, sometimes we come to this earth planet. Naradeva kabu, sometimes we go to hell. Kabu deva, kabu daitya, sometimes we become a demigod, and sometimes we become a demon. Kabu das, sometimes we become a servant, and kabu prabhu, sometimes we become a master. This is the story of a living entity in this universe, going from one body to the next, with no idea of who we are, why we are, what is the meaning of our life. And indeed, in such a situation, our life has no meaning. Until one day. Vacation, like some science fiction movie, where you never come back from vacation. It's a vacation from hell. Eruba sangsa bhamiti konajan. Finally, one day, sadhu sangha nija tatta avagatahan. We meet a devotee. And the devotee speaks to us, nija tatta, you're not that body, you're a spirit soul. And we begin to understand something about our position. We just got the Johnny off from the side. Oh, hey, Krishna, I'm your servant.
This is the beginning of spiritual life. Not,
you don't need to offend anyone.
Not when you give some money and become a life member. Not when you move into the temple. Not when you start wearing a dhoti or a sari or tilak. Not even when you get initiated. But it begins when we begin to cry for Krishna. In the Adi Purana, Krishna tells Arjuna, Gatvacha mamanamani rudanti mamasamido teshamaham parikrito namyat krito janayadana namyat krito janayadana. Krishna tells Arjuna, I am not purchased by anyone else. He says, we can paraphrase in a little Bhagavad way, don't mind. I don't belong to the Christians. I don't belong to the Muslims. I don't belong to the Buddhists. I don't belong to the Hindus. I hope I don't get in trouble saying that. I don't belong to the Hare Krishnas. But that person who cries for me and calls out my name, I belong to that person. And therefore Srila Prabhupada, he said many times that this Krishna consciousness movement is not a religion. In fact, he wrote in one letter, he said, we have many members in our movement who are Muslim, who are Christian, who are Hindu, and they can keep their respective religions. No problem. That's not the purpose for our movement. We've done a little research on this subject. They say that several hundred million people in America in the last few years have given up organized religion. People don't like organized religion. And they interview those people, and the majority of them say they feel closer to God after they left organized religion. Keep this in mind when you're preaching to people. 30% of the people under 30 don't like organized religion. And so if you go to them and say, hey, we have a great organized religion. Why don't you come to our Sunday feast program? Don't be surprised if at least 30% of them tell you to get lost. Who can take a poll here? Raise your hand. Honestly. How many of you here liked organized religion before you came to the Hare Krishna movement? How many of you joined the Hare Krishna movement because, damn, the way they do their management is just so good. Raise your hand. Okay, so this will tell us something. These are the kind of people we have in the room are the kind of people we can hope to have join this movement. So don't go and tell them about the organized religion. Because even the people in this room didn't come because of that. The purpose of this movement is to teach people to cry for God. And that's something which transcends all different religions. There are people, we have friends in Iran. If they openly become a Hare Krishna, they'll be put to death. You can't change your religion. We went to Uzbekistan 2 years ago, and the devotees there, many of them were born in Muslim families. If they change their religion officially, the government may kill them, or the people may kill them. They can't change their situation. In Kiev, we were at recently in Ukraine, there were, one day the devotees were doing Haryanam, and one Orthodox Christian priest was standing and watching. The devotees might have felt a little nervous because they're extremely conservative and very angry for anyone who has any other religion. And suddenly that priest approached one of the devotees and said, can I have one of your books? This looks very interesting. The devotees said, sure, give him a book. And a week later that priest came to the temple. This is amazing. I'd like to practice. And he started chanting Hare Krishna. But one of his friends, they both started chanting. He finally got initiated. But he never gave up being an Orthodox priest. He might have been killed by some people in his church if he'd done it. He couldn't do that. That was his occupation. That was his career. So he never gave up wearing his Christian robes. He continued giving mass in the church. But he would come to the Hare Krishna. And one day, he had some pain in his body. He went to the doctor. The doctor came back and said, sorry, I have some bad news. You only have 2 weeks to live. You have some terrible cancer. It's a true story. And that priest went to the temple and said, can I stay here? And he was standing in the temple and the devotees were doing kirtan around his bed and he left his body. So this is the Hare Krishna movement. It should be a movement which is open for everyone. And that was the vision that Thakur Bhaktivinoda had. You can read in the Chaitanya Sukhamrita and other writings. He said we should respect other people's religion. They don't have to change their religion. We would just like to teach people this Atma-prana, this crying of the soul. And whoever they want to call God, however they want to come to Him, however they want to dress, whatever kind of food they want to eat, however they want to think of God, that's fine. But please learn this one thing, how to cry for God. So, Kindi Bole Ohi Krishna Amitabha Das Tomara Charana Chari Hoyo Sarvanas. When we begin to cry, oh Krishna, I'm your servant. I'm not just doing a costume contest, and today, Sridhar is dressed up in a dhoti. He looks like a very nice Hare Krishna dhoti. But you don't know what Sridhar really likes to do. He may not be a saint, but he's a true Hindu. So we may dress up as devotees, but that's not the beginning of our spiritual life. The beginning of this movement, it's not a cheap movement. The beginning of this movement is when we begin to cry. And when we begin to cry for Krishna, something very special happens. Kripa Kari Krishna said, Rinam, I became a debtor. Rinam e tat pradigam me, Hridayam napa sarpati. When Hridayam napa sarpati, from her heart, Draupadi began to cry out to me. And he said, I don't know how to remove that debt. So it's such an important thing to learn to cry for Krishna. Sometimes we might cry a little bit. We feel bad. My girlfriend left me. It was the fifth girlfriend who left me. I don't have very much hope. I'm very depressed. I'm crying. There's a story that once there was a mother who had two children. She had a little baby who was 2 months old. And she had a young boy who was like 6 or 7. So one day her husband was bringing some friends to the house for some meeting, and he asked her why she please cook something. It's very difficult for her because she has a little baby, and the baby's always crying. And every time she goes in the kitchen to try to start cooking, the baby starts crying. So she called for her 7-year-old boy, and she gave him a little money. And she said, go downstairs to the shop in the corner, and there's a little red toy with a bell.
And she told him that that you go down and buy that little toy and you bring that back to me. So the little boy went and did that. Prabhuji, come here a second. There it is. Never mind.
So the little boy went down and he bought that little red toy, and the mother gave the red toy to the little baby, and the baby, oh, such a nice toy. And he stopped crying. And so the mother went in and started cooking. And then the baby started crying again. And the mother came back and she took that little toy and started shaking it. And the baby, oh, it's very charming, so nice. And the baby stopped crying. And the mother started cooking again. And the baby started crying. And every time the baby would start crying, the mother would come and give the toy back to the baby. But after some time, the baby took the toy, threw the toy, and started screaming. Every mother knows that call. I can't. The toy's not going to work anymore. The baby's saying, I don't want the toy, I want you. And so sometimes we cry a little bit for Krishna. I'm feeling very bad. My girlfriend, my husband left me. My husband's abusing me. My best friend took my money. And then somebody gives us a new cell phone. Wow, that's really cool. And we forget all about our problems for a few days. And then we start crying again. And then somebody gives us a new Apple computer. That's really good. I have a folio on it. And we forget again about crying. We have to come to the point, like this little child, where I don't want any more toys. These toys aren't going to help me. I want you. In this world, everyone has so much hope. We see people, they've been married 8 times, and their wife has left them every time. But still, they're looking for girls. Oh, she's really beautiful. Maybe this one will be different. They have some hope. But we have to become hopeless without hope in this material world. There's no hope in this material world. The only hope that we have is for Krishna and Gurudev. So our spiritual life begins in this way. But this is still something theoretical. We need something practical. And Krishna consciousness is a very practical science. If we really cry to Krishna, then what happens? Krishna will come to us. He may not come to you in the form of Gopinath's flute with Radharani by his side. But he'll come in the form of Krishna Kripa Srimurti, Sri Gurudev. Sri Gurudev is Krishna's personified form of mercy. Sadhu Guru is how Krishna gives his mercy. And this is a practical thing. If we just go and tell people, you cry for Krishna and Krishna will come, what good is that? But you cry for Krishna and Krishna will come to you in the form of Guru. In that form of Guru, Charyamam Bijanayam, Namamam Yetikarichya, that's Krishna who's come to us. That's something practical. And sometimes we see that people don't cry, but they still get Guru. You may say, it's not necessary. This sounds very theoretical. Maybe this sounds very even sahaja-like. Why should we cry? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's written in the Harmonist. He said, at the dawn of our spiritual life, means in the beginning of our spiritual life, we sincerely and with complete submission and self-surrender pray to God for receiving the protection of Sadguru. To paraphrase this in another way, this is the beginning of our spiritual life. Not religious formalities, not just joining an institution, not just giving money, not just changing our dress, or any of the unlimited numbers of external things that we like to avoid the real issue with. we have to really cry. We have to really want Krishna. Krishna is not a cheap thing. And Guru is not a cheap thing. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, the Supreme Lord, at that time, perceiving our earnestness and devotion, in other words, according to the quality of our sincerity, he looks and tests. Do they really want me? What do they really want? Huh? Oh, Brinda just wants a shiny red bicycle. She doesn't really want Krishna. Is it true? Perceiving our earnestness and devotion with a view to guide us on the true path, Krishna will send a real guru to us. Because guru is sent by Krishna. We oftentimes go to hungry. And when we give talks here, I generally tell the people that I have no good qualification. I'm from America. I'm not a very learned person. But I have one good quality. I married a Hungarian girl. And they like that. Somehow, I'm hungry when I say that. So I live most of the time in India. Now what if I decided one day that I think I'll open up a Hungarian embassy in Bhubaneswar where I live, because I'm married to a Hungarian girl. I can do that. And I'll open up a branch representing the Hungarian government. They'll come and put me in jail. I'm not qualified for that. So Guru is Krishna's representative. It's not just that any person can decide I'm going to represent Krishna because I have the mantra. In one sense, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, all of you be guru, and we are guru. But to give diksha and to be the paramarthic guru, the Sri Guru, Sadguru in someone's life, that's a very big thing. It's not just so we can self-appoint ourselves. Sometimes when people speak about guru, I say, guru means aqua. Aqua, what do you mean? Aqua means water in Latin. But aqua means authorization and qualification. Two things. That's guru. Authorization, qualification. Guru is Krishna's representative. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that when we cry to Krishna, when we pray to God with sincerity, then to help us, Krishna, he'll send us a real guru. And he goes on to say, otherwise, it's impossible for us to find Sadguru by our own energy, by our own fallible energy. We have no ability. Vaishnava Chini Denai, Devara Shakati, Jagannanda Pandit says, even the demigods can't see who is a Vaishnava. Think about that. We often quote this verse. The demigod means Indra, Agni, Vayu. Vayu can perceive anywhere there's air. In every body there's air. In every body there's fire. But they can't understand who is a Vaishnava. They're hearing from Narad Muni and from Brihaspati. They're living for millions of years, but they can't understand who's a Vaishnava. And they're devotees. Indrari, Vyakulam Lokam, and the Yanti Yuge Yuge. They're not small-time devotees. Krishna says, I come again and again to help Indra. They're big devotees, but even Indra can't understand who's a Vaishnava. We can't see who's a Vaishnava. So this is the first test of spiritual life. Atma Kranda. We have to cry to Krishna. We have to have some faith in Krishna. If I cry to Krishna, Krishna will help me. Why do we take shelter of this person or that person? Why do I take shelter of Madhava Gauranga? Who is Guru? You tell me. He'll tell me something based on his senses. And I may be cheated. And you might even come to a great Sadguru. But it doesn't really work. Just like three things are required to make a building. Cement, sand. Those are two things. You may have first-class cement and first-class sand, but you'll never make a building out of those two articles. You need a third thing, which people don't take very seriously. Water. So that water, which we don't take very seriously, is our sincerity, is our faith. We have to cry out to Krishna. Some devotees, they came in contact with Srila Prabhupada. The one such devotee who was for some years apparently close to Srila Prabhupada, he traveled with Prabhupada, he was doing so much editing for Prabhupada and things. One day, after he started associating with some Babaji's at Radhakund, he came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, please bless me that I can find a bona fide guru. And Prabhupada cursed him. He said, I bless you, you won't find a bona fide guru.
thousands of lifetimes.
So it doesn't mean just physically coming close to someone, but it's a relationship. And relationship, all relationships in bhakti are based on Krishna. Krishna's in the center. And when we cry for Krishna, then Krishna sends us Sadguru. We may get the same guru, but if we're not crying, it's not the same kind of connection. But if we cry in our heart, and we know that, oh my God, I cried and I prayed. I prayed to Prabhupada, and please send me someone like you. And Prabhupada did that. Wow, this works. This is something real. Prabhupada said, it's not just someone who worships in guru puja and jump up and down and say, Jai Prabhupada. But he's a real person I can take shelter of, and he can help me. So this realization is very important in the beginning of our spiritual life. We need to learn to cry. Because we have no ability to see Krishna. We have no ability to come to Krishna. We need his mercy. And that mercy, Krishna Kripa Srimurti, comes in the form of Sadhu Guru. Gurudev is our everything. Right? As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta once said, he's both the legs and the ground on which we're to walk. He's our everything. We don't know Krishna. We can't come to Krishna. Krishna tells Arjuna in the Adi Prana, Ye me bhakta jana partha, na me bhakta sate janaha. All those people who have those t-shirts that say, I have a big heart, I love Krishna. Krishna says, I don't know who they are. They're not my devotees. But mad bhaktanam chaye bhaktaste ne bhaktatamo mataha. That person is a devotee of my devotee. He's my real devotee. Bhaktistu bhagavad bhakta sangena parijayate. Association with devotees is the birthplace of bhakti. Krishna bhakti janma mula hoya sadhu sangha. The Brihanarada Purana says this. Chaitanya Charitamrita says this. This is the beginning of our bhakti. It is our bhakti. Our Gurudev is our everything. We have to cry for that. We want that. So the beginning, we cry for Krishna, and then Krishna comes in the form of Guru. But still, crying for Krishna is a very theoretical thing. We have one friend, Jagadatman Prabhu, who was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and he was taking siksha from our Guru Maharaj. And one day he came to Guru Maharaj and he said, Guru Maharaj, you speak so much about crying for Krishna, but it's theoretical. How can I cry for Krishna? How can I understand what it means? And Guru Maharaj told him, after I leave this world, you'll understand. So, there's something which is so terrible. Sometimes we have a doubt. And if we have a doubt, we think about it. Sometimes we're very honest, we express it. And that's good for us. But there's some doubts which is so terrible, we don't even want to acknowledge that. We don't even want to look at them because they frighten us. We fear that they're going to destroy my very existence. I've seen this doubt on the faces of some people after the disappearance of Guru. In the presence of Guru, people are so happy. We were mentioning this the other day. When our Guru Maharaj would give lectures in Bhuvaneshwar, at the end of the talk, he would throw the garlands to the devotee. And there was one devotee from God Brother who would jump up so high, and he would always catch the garland. He had so much Guru Bhakti. And one day he jumped up so high, and he fell down and landed on top of Guru Maharaj. And we saw so many devotees who had so much Bhakti for Gurudev. But then after he left, they all went away. And you could see a very terrible doubt on their face, a doubt which is so terrible they couldn't even express it. Did Gurudev die? Is he gone? I can't feel him anymore. Such a terrible doubt. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Sajjana Toshin, he says that for such people, their Gurudev is not dead. They're dead. They're manmurva, he says. They're brain dead. Because they think that their Gurudev is a mundane person. their relationship with their Gurudev wasn't for the purpose of Krishna. It wasn't with Krishna in the center. Krishna never dies. Krishna's eternal. Mm-hmm. And he's always present. He'll always send his representative. If your Gurudev is Krishna's representative, how can he die? He's Krishna's representative. He may hide. After our Guru Maharaj's disappearance, we went to visit one wonderful Vaishnava. His name was Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, a very beloved godbrother of Srila Prabhupada, who passed away some years ago. And we asked him, Maharaj, what should we do? And he told us, don't think your Gurudev is gone. You should think that he's hiding in the bushes to see what you're going to do now. It's a big test. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes two different types of disciples, the Bahirmukh Shishyas and the Antarmukh Shishyas, external disciples and internal disciples. The external disciples are Anartha Yukta Vasta. They have anarthas in their heart. And their darshan of their Gurudev is Bhogya darshan. They think he's something for us to enjoy. But the Antarmukh Shishyas, the internal disciples, they're Anartha Mukta Vasta. Excuse me, they're free from anarthas. And their darshan of Gurudev is Savior darshan. They see that he's meant to be served. And he's always present. There's no question. My Gurudev is always present. We may ask a terrible question. We may think, Krishna, you did a good job. Nice universe. I like the sunrise and the sunset. Grand Canyon's really beautiful. You did a lot of beautiful things in this world, but there's one thing that you did, Krishna, which is not so good. I think there's some mistake. By the natural course of events, generally speaking, our Gurujanas are older than us. And usually, they leave this world before us. In the language of my Guru Maharaj, he said that when that happens, a very dark period then comes. We see that in this time, being very frank. When Srila Prabhupada was present, he was so effulgent, and everyone had faith. And even though we had people from such a wide variety of backgrounds, and psychophysical natures, still everyone was able to get together and work together and cooperate because Srila Prabhupada was present. And then after Prabhupada left, it was a very difficult time. Because there's no one person who can solve all the quarrels, all the disagreements. It's a dark period. Who can I go to? Who will answer my question? Who will help me? Who is there that I have complete faith in? It's a very, very difficult time. Why did Krishna do this? For a disciple, association with their Gurudev is their everything. And we should get that association. We should try to come close with our Gurudev. We should try to understand their heart. It's very, very important. But then, why does Krishna take our Gurudev away? Srila Prabhupada spoke about this in a number of different places. He said some very beautiful things about the Vidya. He wrote a letter to Krishna Das in 1968. To feel separation from the spiritual master or Krishna is a very good position. That means one who is in pure love with Krishna and is represented as spiritual master, he thinks always of them. And this thinking process is Krishna conscious. If we can think always of Krishna, even in separation, that is Krishna consciousness. And on the absolute platform, there's no difference between separation and meeting. The separation is also meeting. Rather than separation, one relishes the loving relationship more tasty. In other words, in separation, we can relish union even more. Prabhupada says, so don't be disappointed that you're separated from me. I'm also always thinking of you, how you are making progress there. One of my favorite letters from Prabhupada is one that he wrote to Brahmananda Guru in 1969. Very poetic, but some careful. Our meeting and separation in the material world is like the flowing tide of the river. During the flowing tide of the river, so many different floating articles meet together, and with the flowing, they again become separated by the movement of the waves. That is the way of material life. But our separation, although it resembles exactly in the material way, it is completely different. In the spiritual world, separation is more relishable than meeting. In other words, in spiritual life, there is no separation. Separation is eternal, and meeting is also eternal. The separation is simply another form of meeting. Such a very deep and very, very beautiful statement. So in the beginning of our spiritual life is when we cry for Krishna, we cry for Guru. And then, when good fortune arises, we may get that association. But still, things are a little theoretical. But then in the separation from that Premi Bhakta, from that Sadguru, again we learn to cry. And this is a great test for us. I've seen so many people. They don't have faith. Again, Bhaktivinoda speaks about different types of disciples. And the Bhaktivinoda Sishyas, there are different types, one of which is a Snehasilita, another which is a Guru Giri. And the Guru Giri and the Snehasilita, they're both Anartha Yukta Vasta. They think that the Gurudev is for their pleasure. They have Anarthas in their heart. I think it's a little late. Somebody needs to go. Please do. And we're speaking something that you may tell them, causing the troubles if you need to go, please do that. But the Sneha Silita and the Guru Giri, they don't see their Guru Giri. The Sneha Silita, Sneha means affection. And the purpose of his relationship with his Guru Giri is to get attention from Guru Giri, to get association with Guru Giri, to have Guru Giri rubbing on your head and smacking with a stick. Chastise me, or I get to ride in the car with him. And that's his purpose. And then also I can advertise him and tell everybody I got such a great Gurudev. Such people, you see them, sometimes they're not very interested in hearing what their Gurudev has to say. Their Gurudev is going for a walk and he's speaking, that disciple's in the back. But as soon as someone brings out a camera, very quick, the disciple gets right next to Gurudev. Because he wants to show everybody, I'm a disciple of Gaurivinda Maharaj. I'm a disciple of XYZ Maharaj. You should know who I am. Give me respect. That's my purpose. And to such a devotee who's looking for affection, when their Gurudev leaves, everything's gone. Who's going to pay attention to me now? Who's going to give me affection? I have to go somewhere else. Because my Gurudev is dead. He's not present. Your Gurudev is not dead, you're dead. Man Mora Bhav, your brain dead. He's still present, but you don't have faith. And so you go from one person to another person and you entertain yourself with different types of association and maybe good association. But is it pleasing to Krishna? Is it pleasing to your Gurudev? The Guru Giri, on the other hand, doesn't have the decency to go away. Rather, he stays. And Giri means business. He makes a business out of his Gurudev. And he becomes Guru himself. By advertising, I'm a disciple of this one and that one, so you should give me respect. These persons don't cry in separation from Guru. If they do cry, this man is looking at me, cry. They cry because they feel sorry for themselves. Not because of separation from Gurudev. So, it's a great test. When we have separation from Guru and from the Vaishnavas, it's the most painful thing in the world. And therefore, Ramananda Roy, he described it Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Dukam madhye kona dukam guru karam Krishna bhakta virahi dhukamahi Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy, Dukha Madhye Kaun, Dukha Guru Tar. What is, of all the different types of distress and suffering, what is the most intense type of suffering? And Ramananda Roy said, actually, I don't know of any suffering. We chant Hare Krishna, there's no suffering. I know of one. There's only one suffering in this world. When Krishna Bhakta Viraha, that separation from the devotees. We should learn to love devotees. It's very important. Sometimes we think there's no love in this material world. And Srila Prabhupada, he wrote one letter to one bhakti in 1973. He said, you refer to the word love several times in your letter, but the actual fact is there's no love in this material world. That's false propaganda. What they call love here is just lust only, or desire for sense gratification. We were speaking about this the other day in Prabhuji's home. So sometimes we think there's no such thing as love. Prabhuji, you can't love your wife. You can't love your husband. You can't even love your children. There's no such thing as love. That's Maya. Send your children away to Gurukul when they're 4 years old and you don't have to call them, you have to contact them. People were speaking like this at one time. There's no reason to love your husband, your wife. You're not that body. Don't be in Maya. Fortunately, that's a misconception. Prabhupada said in another lecture in Los Angeles in 1970, in the second platform, this means Madhyama Adhikari, we should not only love God, but we should make friendship with devotees who are loving God. That is society. Society doesn't just mean we're initiated by the same person, we're living in the same temple, even we have the same mission. But society means friendship, loving relationships. Prabhupada said, our society is devotees. We should not only practice to love God, but we should make friendship and love the devotees also. Shasha describes, Hari lila sutochara pareshi sitatamphaya kaya pitistabaharya yata bhakta nashiti. Very important verse. It says we should learn to love devotees. But how do we love devotees? Prabhuji, want to go see a movie with me? We'll go to, it's a vegetarian restaurant. We can offer it. Last night was something to know onions and garlic. Is that how we associate with devotees? Krishna should be in the center of everything, in the center of all relationships. If we have a Vaishnava Sangha here, if we want to have Krishna Katha, Krishna has to be in the center of it. If I start speaking to you about how I met my wife, then I would violate the sanctity of the Vaishnava Sangha. It would be an offense. You may be friends with your Gurudev because you like the same kind of books that he liked before he joined. You like that he was into playing football before he joined. You also like football, so you become friends with your Gurudev in that way. But that's not coming close to your Gurudev. All of our relationships should have Krishna in the center. So Hari Lila Sutochara, we should love devotees by hearing about Krishna with them. It's very important. You should love your wife, love your husband, love your children. Do kirtan together, do service together, hear Krishna katha together. You should love your Gurudev. And the same way that you have a relationship with other devotees, by keeping Krishna in the center, our relationship with Gurudev is by keeping Krishna in the center. By hearing about Krishna, by hearing about Krishna from him. By doing kirtan with him. And a very nice thing. If you do this, then yata bhakti nanashiti, your bhakti will be protected. I was speaking about this a few years ago in Odessa, in Ukraine, and one brahmachari said, no. There's no such thing as love here. You don't have love. And we told him, no, Baba. We have to have love for devotees. If we don't have love for devotees, we'll have love for Maya. And you may have a loving relationship with your husband or wife or your children, but if Krishna's not in the center, you're not loving, it's not real love. It's something mundane. Sukamita Ramani Rachinta Samaj, the Vidyapati poet, is described, you're keeping your husband and wife and children on the platform of love and not Krishna. So we should learn how to associate with devotees by loving them. And love means kirtan. Love means Krishna Katha, keeping Krishna in the center of things. Loving Guru means this thing. And my friend in Odessa said, but if you love devotees, you're going to cry. Because sooner or later your wife will may die, your children may leave. Yes, you'll cry. But that crying is not like ordinary crying. If we love devotees, if we love our Gurudev because he gave us Krishna, because we're hearing Krishna Katha from him, when that person leaves and we cry, we're not crying for something mundane, we're learning finally to cry for Krishna. This is bhajana separation. This is the beginning of our spiritual life, and this is the goal of our spiritual life. So tomorrow we'd like to speak something about separation experienced by the Brijvasis when Krishna left for an hour. And on the third day, we'd like to say something about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if we have enough time, we'd like to get to the point where we speak again how these very high topics we'll speak about tomorrow and the next day, how they relate to us. So we'll stop. Shishi Radha Gopinath Juki. Jagannath Bhavadev Srimati Subhadramai Sudarshan Juki. Shishi Dhorna Tenanda Prabhu Ki. Shiva Prabhupada Ki. Samaveda Bhakti Vinda Ki. Gopreya Nandiva. Vamsa Papa Guru Vishnu. So I don't know what the schedule is, and I don't want to cause any trouble. But if anybody has any questions or anything you can ask them, you need to go, please go.
What you said about Chakra, it
we don't have to worry. We're fortunate we don't have to worry about those things if we simply surrender to our Gurudev as we're supposed to. And if we're really surrendered to our Gurudev, he wants us to have association more than we do. How do we get that association? It's easy to say, Bhaktisiddhanta says, there's always the presence of Mahabhagavats on the planet. We should understand that. If we don't believe that, you're an atheist. Because Krishna's always present. This is the attitude of Hiranyakashipu. Huh? Prahlad, where is your God? He's everywhere, Father. Ah, is he in this pillar? Yes, Father. Then I'll kill him. And he pulled out his sword, and he got a big surprise. Because Krishna's everywhere. And Krishna's not alone. Krishna's with his devotees. If we say there's no pure devotees, then you're an atheist. If you say there's no pure devotees in ISKCON, you're an atheist. There's pure devotees anywhere and everywhere. We should only cry for them. But a question arises, a very important question. How do I get that association? How do I know I need that association after the disappearance of my Guru Dev? I don't know. I don't know what's right. I don't know what's wrong. In the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, let's see, a very nice statement from Preeti Maharaj. Yatha chidabhavitam vitasrayam, tatha tvam evahasi nasamritam. My dear Lord, I don't know what's good for me and bad for me. Just like a father knows what's good for the child, you give me whatever's best for me. This should be our prayer to our Gurudev. And after the disappearance of Gurudev, don't think he's gone. He's watching to see what you're going to do. Will you remember the instructions you've gotten? Will you continue doing the service you've gotten? And if you do that, you'll please him. And if you need something, he'll come in another form. He'll empower another Vaishnava near you. And you'll know that in your heart. My Gurudev sent this person. He sent him. But if you just forget about your Gurudev, and you forget about your Gurudev's service, oh, somebody told me I have to have Sadhu Sangha. And it's very important at all times. So I'll leave my Gurudev's service. I'll leave my Gurudev's Seva Sangha because Sadhu Sangha is more important than my Gurudev's service. And I'll run here and there. So the Bhaktisiddhanta says they'll not get anything. They'll just be cheated. They'll get some external thing. It may look very good. They may stand next to a sadhu who's very elevated even. It looks very good. And he may get some fame and prestige from that. But your bhakti won't increase, and your connection with your Gurudev won't increase, because you've done some offense. We should depend on our Gurudev. Our Gurudev is our everything. I have no right to go anywhere. I told my Guru Maharaj, when I asked him for initiation, I said, Maharaj, I said, I'm an animal. I'm a beast. I have so many terrible desires, but you please make me your animal. And so you belong, you're an animal, you belong to someone, you have no right to go anywhere unless he takes care of you. He may not make any arrangement for you. He may not send anyone. You may need someone. You may cry and cry. And that may be his arrangement. He wanted to churn your heart. He wanted to make you suffer to see how sincere you are, how much faith you have in him, that he'll take care of you. How can it be otherwise? He's Krishna's representative. He'll take care. But we don't have faith. We have more faith in the power of our senses than we do in our Gurudev. My Gurudev, he's gone. He's dead. He can't help me anymore. But my senses, they'll tell me who's the sadhu. My senses, sight, and ears, and my brain will tell me who's the sadhu. I'll go there. We don't have faith. Okay? They went to? Some people will tell you, yes, it applies to them because our Gurudev is the Acharya after Prabhupada. I don't know. Someone once told me that. Maharananda, I heard that Guru Maharaj is the Acharya after Prabhupada. What do you think of that? I said, well, sounds nice. Why not? I said, but isn't it up to Krishna to decide that? If I vote something, if I run around with a flag saying this, is that going to make any difference? I'm just going to create a disturbance. Who gives a damn about my opinion? So Krishna takes care. And some devotees came to my room, some devotees went to other places. Krishna will provide for different people in different ways. It's not that my Gurudev, Amar Guru, Jagat Guru, my Gurudev is the only one, and your Guru, well, better luck next time. It's not, you shouldn't think like that. It's a very, very offensive attitude. Krishna's there for everyone. My Guru Maharaj said this. Krishna, he's Samasti Guru. And Sadguru is Vyasti Guru. Samasti Guru means the sum total of Guru. He's like a sun. And Krishna is shining his rays of Vyasti, the Kiran, down everyone in the world. And he sends so many Gurus. And different people may get different Gurus. And their Guru may not be as advanced, he may be more advanced, but that's their Guru. And if they need something more, if they're sincere, Krishna will send them. But we shouldn't try to control people, preach to people, my Gurudev is best, Amar Guru, Jagat Guru. This is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this is a very offensive kind of attitude. Really what you're saying is that I'm Guru. Because I'm going to tell you who your Guru is. I'm taking the position of Krishna. That's what it means. We're not giving people, allowing them the dignity to make up their own mind, the dignity to even make their own mistake. We should allow them that. Okay? I'm sorry, that's a little harsh, but I'm just trying to speak the truth. Mataji?
You talked about love between devotees. And of course, at Madhya also means that they show love in a different way to those who are innocent. Sometimes we think we have to love the devotees and everybody else is less.
This is a very important point. The Bhagavatam describes that Prasprana Katanam Pavanam Bhagavadhyasa, we should learn how to love devotees. Krishna tells us the Buddha in the 11th canto. How do we love devotees? Ishwari Kadadinishu. Really love is for Krishna. So we love devotees by keeping Krishna in the center. Bali Seishu, Visatsucha, Prema Maitri Kapopeksha, Yakaroti Samadhyamaha. This is the symptoms of a Madhyam. He has love, Prema for Krishna. And he has some kripa, some mercy for Bali Seishu. In Jayavadharma, Bhaktivinoda elaborates in a very nice way in this verse. He says that Bali Seishu are innocent persons, in giving mercy to them, we give mercy according to the degree of their innocence. If they're a little innocent and a lot jaded, then we give them a little mercy. If they're a lot innocent, very simple, then we give them a lot of mercy. And visatsucha, persons who are envious, like Prabhupada says a very heavy thing. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, there are many envious persons in this Krishna consciousness movement, and one must neglect them. So someone who's visatsu, who's envious, we neglect them. And Bhaktivinoda describes how we neglect them. The point being that we study this, each one of these relationships, Krishna is in the center of everything. Ishvara, we have prema for Krishna, Krishna is in the center. Tadadini Ishu, we make friends with Krishna's devotees by keeping Krishna in the center. Bali Seshu, we give mercy to the innocent by giving them Krishna. Our loving relationship is Krishna in the center. And then what about Dvisatsu, the envious people? Krishna is also in the center of that relationship.
How?
Bhaktivinoda says that neglecting an envious person doesn't mean that you won't give them food if they're hungry. It doesn't mean you won't give them some shelter in your home or some place if they have nowhere to stay. It means something far, far worse. It doesn't mean that you're not going to speak to them. It doesn't mean I won't look at them. You may look at them, you may speak to them, but it means something much worse. What is that? It means you don't speak Krishna to Tara. We've made experience that sometimes, even amongst devotees. Hey, did you hear this? It's really far out story in the Krishna book. And you know, Krishna turns down this lizard in the bottom of it. Hey, Prabhu, leave me alone. Don't be a fanatic. I know that story. What do you think, I'm a new bhakta or something? Don't tell me that. Sometimes people become disturbed if you start speaking to them about Krishna. Such another one spoke from that sometimes even in our own movement, if you start speaking about Krishna, then some people will look at you and they'll say, are you sexually agitated or something? What are you doing? It's almost illegal sometimes. But this is a Krishna consciousness movement. We have to keep Krishna in the center. Krishna is love. And that's the center of all of our relationships. We have the answer for loving relationships. But unfortunately, if we're not very Krishna conscious, we can't show that very well. And many times our relationships are really dysfunctional between the husband and wife, between devotees. Brahmacharis should love brahmacharis. Sannyasis should love brahmacharis. Husbands and wives should love each other. Parents should love their children. Children should love their parents. But we should love each other with Krishna in the center. Is that okay? Anything else to say?
That kind of
that's a very beautiful comment. I appreciate that. If somebody's listening outside and she's saying that we can't, if somebody doesn't want to hear from us, we shouldn't just assume, oh, they're envious because they don't want to hear from me. We should think, oh, maybe I have some fault. In the Bhagavatam, it becomes confusing if you study cosmology, because in one canto it describes the universe from the bottom looking up, and another canto describes the same universe from the top looking down. In other words, there's two bona fide perspectives. And there's at least two bona fide perspectives to everyone, everything. Anvaya vyate vyate vyam yat shatsara. The Sarva, one of the Mula Shlokas in the Bhagavatam says it, directly or indirectly. So there's all these two ways to think of things. We should ourselves be humble and think, if someone comes and speaks Krishna Katha to me, I should be very happy to hear it. And even if that person may want some prestige and may want to control me or something, still just speaking some Krishna Katha, I should like that. But on the other hand, if I speak Krishna Katha to someone, I start telling some story to Brinda, and she becomes angry with me, leave me alone, why are you telling me this? Then I should think, yes, Brinda's right, I'm not a qualified person, I'm not very pure, and therefore let me become more pure, she's giving me a good message. The basic principle is Ashwadhanaya Mukhe Krishnabhati Yashchokpadirisha Shiva Nama Puradha. Prabhu Karana says, it's the ninth offense of the holy name. If someone doesn't have faith in us, we can't speak to them. So what do? How do you preach to someone who doesn't have faith in you? Then you have to behave in such a way to create faith in them. And one of the best things to do is to be detached and not try to force them. Okay? Nice comment. Thank you. Anything else to say? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Veda Bhakta Vinda ki jai, Manandi Hari Hari Hari.